Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Everybody, and welcome back to Linux in the Ham Shack. My name is Richard, KB5JBV, and I am one and only one of the co-hosts of this particular extravaganza. I do guarantee that this episode, unlike a lot of other episodes, will be absolutely fab. Let me turn it over to my partner over in Arkansas, Russ, K5TUX. Hello, Russ.
Well, hello, Richard. How are you doing? I've got a great day going up here in Arkansas. I guess a little bit north of me, there's a lot of rain and wind and all kinds of goings on. But right here, it's beautiful. So how is it down in Texas?
Oh, well, it was raising cane this morning. That's why we sent it your direction. It never did actually rain here, but it was dark and gloomy and lightning-y and everything else. And now we've got that doggone 100-degree south wind blowing. Well, maybe not 100, but somewhere it sure feels like it. Anyway, that's what's going on here. I'm quite honestly thought I had something on the list to complain about, but we'll just have to put it off till the next episode.
Sounds good, I think, or sounds bad. I'm not sure, whichever one.
Well, however it works out. So, all right. Let's see. I have done lost my place. All right. So, you want to make introductions? You want to roll through things and let it evolve in its own natural way, or how you want to go this direction this time? Everybody's waiting in anticipation listening to us.
Yes, I know. Well, let me do the quick introduction since this sort of came about from my drunken boast 3 episodes back or so, whatever that was.
That's right. We get the best shows out of Russ being lit.
Unfortunately, it was a little too soon after work for me to get that far today. So unfortunately, I'm really going to be the straight man today. But one of the episodes, a couple episodes back, it was either 2 or 3. I don't remember now. I've slept since then. But at some point, I got really, really wasted towards the end of the episode. And I was great. You know, I was boasting about it and the fact that I was going to get Fab on the show in the chat room. Fab being
Fab.
How do you pronounce your name, Fab?
Oh God!
Hey, no, the whole
you know,
one.
Don't you feel know, obliged give... to Fabian Scherzer. It's German. It's terrible.
Okay. No, I did know that, but okay. So anyway, I said that I would be able to get Fab on the show, and it's taken 3 episodes. More because Fab has a very, very busy life. Having a busy life could be, you know, you could have a life where you're feeling suicidal all the time. That would be worse.
No, that's Brad Sucks.
That's what?
That's Brad Sucks.
That's Brad Sucks. But yeah. Brad Sucks doesn't suck, you know?
But he's always suicidal.
So anyway, with no further ado, we have Fab from the Linux Outlaws over at sixgun.org.
Hi, guys.
So, hello,
yeah,
Fab.
Coming in from Bonn, Germany. Just call me Fab. It's great, you know. I was in Australia for a while, and I couldn't pronounce my last name either, so I just kind of gave up. By the way, I feel really inadequate because I do not have a call sign. In fact, I do know very little about amateur radio. So, I will just have to blag it.
Well, that's okay. The thing about the Linux and the Ham Shack moniker is we've kind of gone away from being entirely about amateur radio, although it certainly comes up more often than not. Everybody who, you know, we asked to come on the show is like, well, I don't know anything about radios. And we're like, well, you don't have to know anything about radios because hell, half the time we don't know what we're talking about.
I do know a little bit because
I
would say maybe de facto father-in-law is actually a ham. And not that he, you know, would be listening, but I would like to give a shout-out to him. He's Delta Charlie 5 Juliet Mike, if I'm correct there, you know, if you ever talk to him. And yeah, and that's all I know, like, from listening to him. And he doesn't have a shack, but he has, like, this little room upstairs. And back when I used to visit my girlfriend, you know, he was being up there. And I always joked it sounded like, you know, like Star Wars, you know, when the Imperials are coming. And that scene, like, in The Empire Strikes Back, that's what the radio sounded like to me.
Well, if he has a little room with a radio in it, that's a shack. I mean, if you set up a radio and an antenna hanging out your window in the kitchen table.
It's a bloody big antenna as well. Like, it's huge. He has got, like, this huge dish on the house from the outside. Looks like the top part of a Star Destroyer with all this stuff coming out. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I think he's a member of the Empire secretly.
I'm detecting a Star Wars fan.
What came to my mind.
Well, that's okay. We have an entire list of things I want to talk about, and not one of them involves ham radio. So this is
What about Star Wars?
I have one question, but why is it called ham radio? I've tried to figure this out. I could never find it.
Oh, well, you said you listened to a couple of shows recently, right? Okay, so you know what Richard's personality is like, right? That's why it's called ham radio.
I don't think I've ever said this to you before, Russ, but I want you to know it that I mean it in all sincerity. Bite me.
I was you know, before I came on here, we actually just recorded the Linux Outlaws, and I was talking to Dan, my co-host, and I was saying, I'm really intimidated. I don't know anything about, you know, radios. And then these guys, they sound so much more outlaw than we do. Especially Richard. It's like that accent is just amazing.
Well, we come by it honestly. We were secret honorary cranks. So that's well, kind of where it comes from.
I could probably fit in there quite well.
All right. Well, we'll get to a little bit more about the inner workings of Fab in a little bit, but we do have some announcements we want to get through here. Are you on the same page with me now, Richard?
I thought we have been on the same page for the last 4 years.
Well, I'm talking about this episode.
Oh, you mean, episode 79. I don't see, our silent partner. I guess he's still at work, but yes, I'm watching.
Oh yeah. I didn't even know he had a job.
Well, with what we pay him, I hope he's got a job.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, we've given him a raise like 4 or 5 times. He's still making the same amount.
Yeah, there you have it.
Okay. Well, let me get through these announcements real quick so we can get on to the real meat of the matter. And I know it's late over in West Germany.
It's
there.
Germany now, or, yeah.
I guess you're...
It's just Germany
now, but...
Yeah, I think the call signs still are, if I remember that correctly.
You said that your de facto father-in-law was Delta Charlie, and most of the German call signs that I'm aware of are Delta Echoes. Do you know where Delta Charlie came from, Richard, or is that still German? Or
anything? It depends more on the first letter than I mean. It's like we have AK as one of the what was AK? AK used to be an Alaska call, even though now it's used just about anywhere. Same way with N calls. So it's normally the first letter through the ITU that really makes the difference. Only when you have a bunch of countries right close together that have the first initial indicator that the second letter actually makes any difference.
Okay. Well, so Delta, all deltas are deltas, I guess.
Well, there you go. It really throws me because the national organization over there is called the DARC. And here in the Dallas, Texas, which is just probably 10, 15 miles from here, the amateur radio club for that city is the DARC. So it really messes with me sometimes. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, me too. So as Dan would say, back at the point. Okay, a couple of announcements. I just talked to Ronnie via email, Kilo 4 Romeo Juliet Juliet, and he did attend the Kark Ham Fest, KARC, down in Atlanta, or actually Marietta. last weekend, and he said he's got some videos, some photos, and some information about the show. So we will be hearing from Ronnie, and I'll post anything we get from him over at lhspodcast.info. So people who want to find out how the show down there in Georgia went can do so. And then coming up in a couple of weeks, on April 7th, there is another HamFest. Well, of course, there are HamFests all the time, but this one's important because we have a listener who's going to be an ambassador down there. And this gentleman is Roy, Kilo Kilo 4 Alpha Tango Delta. And he's down there in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. He's going to attend the HamFest for us and give us his report and some photos and whatnot of what goes on down there in Raleigh. And I had never having been to Raleigh, North Carolina, I'm interested to see how this goes. It's supposed to be a pretty good-sized HamFest. I think it says they usually get about 1,700 to 2,000 attendees over the 8 or so hours that the thing is open, so not bad at all. Do you have anything before I finish these off or what?
Well, however you want to handle it, as far as announcements on this end, I've been busy battling my boss. So let's do this. The LHS website now has a chat link, which gives you the ability to join the LHS podcast IRC channel without having a client, straight from the LHS website. So y'all spread the word on that. This is something that we have really needed. And we're going to have to make sure we make mention of it on the social media places and all that good stuff. So those that had no idea what IRC was can join us in the chat room. Thank you, Russ. Where'd you find that one?
Well, actually, I found it from indirectly from FAP, because a couple of episodes ago, he introduced me to, well, I think it's 3 episodes ago now, of Linux Outlaws. He or Dan, one, was going to listen to the Bugcast.
Dan listened to them, but yeah, I was going to.
So I got introduced to the Bugcast, and I listened to that show for a while. And while I was perusing the Bugcast website, they had the web chat client for Freenode embedded in their website using an iframe. And I said, well, hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to steal that. So I did.
I might steal that idea as well.
And now we're using that on our website.
That never occurred to me. That's a bloody good idea.
Well,
yeah, it works really, really well.
They used to have a Java thing like that. I can't remember. It was one of the Ubuntu podcasts that I had a buddy over there, and they had a page with JavaScript on it that would go into an IRC chat room, and I had it on the resident frequency site for a while until it quit working. I guess they quit maintaining it or something. But yeah, this right here is going to be really an advantage.
Well, I had a Java client as well, and I put that on one of my other websites. The only problem with it is that Freenode specifically rejects any client but their own. So if you want to connect to a Freenode address using one of those Java, chat clients, Freenode doesn't allow anything.
Yeah, they had a lot
except
of
the
problems
one that they put up
with script kiddies, I think, at one point.
Yeah. And then actually I had a double problem when I installed it today, because I got it up and running and I tried to connect to him, and they said, oh, by the way, you're running an open squid relay. And I was like, oh, crap. So at least they found that out for me, and I managed to close up my relay. So now it's actually working and all is good.
Well, there you go. All right. Let's see what else we got. We got donations for Hamvention. Y'all send us money. Lots of money. Money, money, money. Send it this way. Money, 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 money. Now, tell us about the donations for the Hamvention.
Okay. Well, the reason that's in there is because we don't have any yet. That little thermometer has been stagnant right there at about $150. And so we're still a little bit short of halfway to our goal. And Hamvention is in about 2 months, right at 2 months.
Getting very close, folks.
Yes, getting very close. So, like I said, I'm willing to foot the bill for whatever we don't manage to get from our listeners. And I understand the times are really hard right now, because I was listening secretly to Linux Outlaws, and they didn't get any donations either. So, ha!
Well, there you have it. And I know gas is almost $4 a gallon here.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine when they have to ship it further from the refinery.
Exactly. But see, Linux Outlaws is like a real podcast. They're like really good at this stuff, and they've been around for a while. And if they don't get any, then I'm not surprised that we don't.
Tell
get
me
any.
About it. They should well, give you
there
money.
There you have it.
I mean, going you know, to a convention is pretty cool. That's a worthy goal.
Yeah, but see that. Where else except doing a podcast can you know absolutely nothing about what you're talking about and people actually download yeah. it to play it?
Well, you know, since I've been doing podcasts, I've listened to the radio a bit more closely, and I don't know in the US, but actually, to be honest, that's basically the same thing they're doing as well. They're just a bit better prepared, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a show over here. I don't know if you ever listened to Larry Bushy's show, Going Linux. But okay, well, that Computer America show that he goes on every once in a while, that's about standard. Seriously. All right, and last but not least, it says Black Sparrow Media. I've heard that somewhere before. What's going on with that, Russ?
Well, Black Sparrow Media is actually picking up a little bit. We did get the Waveguides guys, and I've got to do some updates to our mobile app because with the 5.1 update of iOS, apparently they've broken it. So I'll get that taken care of as soon as I can. But, you know, everybody who listens to the show, who wants to hear the other shows, should, including Waveguides, should go over and get the Black Sparrow Media mobile app for Android and for iPhone. You can listen live and all that good stuff. You get all the content. See our Twitter feeds, whatnot. And I've got, I think, a couple more podcasts lined up, some really good ones about open source content that will maybe be joining the network. I'm still working on them, but the thumb screws aren't quite tight enough yet, but we're getting there. And hopefully we'll have some more content even very, very soon. And if anybody, you know, wants to join or knows somebody who might be interested in joining the network, please let them know that okay. It's available.
All right. And I've been holding off on this and I'm going to do it. First of all, if you get in touch with us, we would like to see more shows contact us about getting on this system at Black Sparrow Media. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. It's free for the listener. It's free for the podcaster. We do ask that you put a stinger on the front and that's about it. But I'm going to issue I challenge Solder Smoke, a Practical Amateur Radio Podcast, Low SWR, ICQ Podcast, and any other amateur radio related podcast to contact us and get on the Black Sparrow Media Network. On the Linux side, well, Larry's got a nationally syndicated show, and I've been remiss in keeping up with my Linux friends, so they may be mad with me. I'll have to contact them one at a time. So y'all go on over to Black Sparrow Media. Russ keeps saying go on over to blacksparrowmedia.org, which is the doggone it. Anyway, go over to blacksparrowmedia.org. And check out what we've got there. There's some information on joining the network, and we can get y'all fixed up. If you want to send an email, well, pick up the email addresses at the end of the show. Okay, so we got that through that pretty quick, a lot quicker than we normally get through the first segment. But Russ has got some more music for us, and while he tells y'all about that, I'm going to try and find the mute button.
Okay. Let me just correct you and say that it's blacksparrowmedia.net. I haven't bothered to purchase the .org domain. And you still have the .com domain, which does forward to the .net, but we will get those consolidated at some point. You know, the official address is the .net, blacksparrowmedia.net. So enough about that. We are going to go into our first little musical break, and then we're going to talk to Fab for a little while and then send him on his way so he can enjoy a little bit of sleep before he goes to work in the morning. And let me see, make sure I got all the stuff queued up here. Okay, so the music for this first interlude is one that I found after listening to the Bugcast again. They played a song by this group named Obsidian Shell, which is a very, very nice heavy metal. Well, it's sort of hard rock pushing heavy metal. Anyway, it's good stuff. They didn't play this particular track, but I like this one better than the one they picked. It's called Vertigo, and it's off their album called Ever Shade. So we'll take a listen to this one, and then we'll talk to Fab when we come back. We'll be right back.
You know, he always does that to me. This music, it'll end without no end. And it just blows my mind. Okay, we're back, y'all. And I'm going to hand it to Russ and let him do the honors. Go ahead, Russ.
Well, we already did the introduction, so I don't know how much more honors we want to do here. But let's get some of the quick, you know, the questions we want to get out of the way quickly just so we can establish Fab as a person, a human being, an individual who lives on this planet. And then we can get to some real thought-provoking stuff. So how long is...
Yeah. Not to mention an internet radio rock star. Fab.
I'm going to have to take that snort as a soundbite.
You can. It's creative comments.
There used to be videos out there of him actually doing his show.
Mr. Far, I guess. Anyway, okay, so let's find out about your past. And I'm talking over you, Richard, because you're down so low I can barely hear you.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's a little better. I wish you could. Well, no, don't, because you're going to flat top your side, so don't bother.
Yeah, the mic tastes bad.
Okay, so obviously, I'd be willing to bet that Fab started out with Windows just like the rest of us. So when did you make the transition?
Before Windows, I used to be a DOS guy. And I made the transition to Ubuntu in... Well, full time in about 2007, right? About when we started Linux Outlaws a bit earlier. I was working at a university institute and some coworker just handed me an Ubuntu CD. And, I installed it and, thought it was fun. And then I switched over at some point.
Did you have one of those critical apps that you had to wait a while before you could figure out how you could switch over? And, you know, one of those ones you keep an instance running for just a little while.
I was using Wine for quite a while. There wasn't one critical app, I would say. I used to be a gamer. That was the biggest problem. And at some point, I just bought a PS3. And now I'm just, you know, I don't have much time. The only games I play now is Minecraft, like with that runs on Linux, and then, stuff on the PS3, actually.
Yeah, now gaming is something we don't really talk about because I'm not a gamer and I don't believe Richard really is either. But you talk about your Minecraft quite a bit. I know you're very into it and you even have a Linux Outlaw Minecraft server. So how's that going?
I'm not playing that much anymore right now because I got really busy with work and stuff. But, I like to play that. It's quite a relaxing game. I would say, I'm actually a bit of a, I'm not a good gamer. I suck at games, to be honest. I really like playing them, but I suck. So if I play multiplayer games like Minecraft is like Lego. It's just generally about building stuff. So it's kind of hard to suck. It's not like these ego shooters where it's like, I mean, oh God, then you have like some 13-year-old high school kids. No offense to 13-year-old high school kids, but I can't compete with those reflexes. You know, I just can't.
Yeah. That's why I like Portal, because it's sort of a game where it's kind of like it's sort of an FPS, but it's very slow paced and you can wander around not having to worry about who's going to frag you at any moment.
I think I'm a little bit too dumb for it. Like, for some of the levels, I struggled really hard with it.
I would hate to buy a game and be done with it in a day. And I know some friends who are hardcore gamers who spend, you know, $60-$70 on a game and they're through with it in a day. That's true. Seems like a total waste. I wouldn't want to be that good.
That's a good point, actually.
Well,
took me over a year to play Ultima 4.
Ultima Online was the first online game I played, actually. Man.
Yeah, well, I don't like getting laughed at, so I don't normally play
Ultima
online.
Ultima Online was really hardcore as well. Like, you started out with nothing. And basically, when you were dead, you were dead. It wasn't like this, what they have today, like this World of Warcraft crap where you get killed and then you get resurrected. No, in Ultima, you were dead. Yeah.
Start mining all over again.
Oh, yeah.
I still have some spiral notebooks around here from where I made notes as I was going through the game so that I could keep up with what was going on.
I even do that today still. People laugh at me.
No, they're...
Yeah, you mean you're not taking those notes on your tablet PC, you're actually writing
like a pen and, you know, like a notebook and do that. It kind of fits. I mean, you know, when you're playing like Skyrim or something, sitting there with a tablet, it's not really in the spirit. It's like Skyrim Elder Scrolls. Thing. It's like an RPG kind of thing. It's like killing dragons. Like, in it's like very Nordic mythology kind of thing. All the guys walking around, they sound like Schwarzenegger in Conan. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was being ironic. I just wanted to show off how tragically unhip I was. Okay, so let's see. I had down here that I wanted to find out what your Linux and open source software credentials were, and I'm not really sure what that means. I just kind of, you know, what other than being the host of Linux Outlaws
any.
And generally
like,
having,
I blag it. I really, I don't have any. I don't know if you know Lug Radio. You know, they started a lot earlier than us, and at one point I can remember I was talking, might have been at an org camp. I was talking to Stuart Langridge from Lug Radio, and we were talking about how long we've been using Linux. And I told him when I started using Ubuntu, and he was like, "Oh my God, I have shoes that have more Linux experience than you." And that kind of summed it up. So actually, you know, Linux Outlaws was always a show, but just Dan and I getting together. For me, it was always about learning English and having a native speaker to talk to. So I wouldn't lose like my speaking skills. And then we would just talk about stuff, and we never really pretended to really know a lot. I mean, by now, I guess if you're doing it so long, you pick up such a lot, you know, a lot of stuff, basically just the news and what's going on. I've been doing that for so long that I kind of know stuff there, but I'm by no means like a programmer or a hardcore hacker. For example, I've never managed to get Gentoo running.
Yeah, well, there are
a few listeners that have, and I kind of admire them. I always lose patience with stuff like that.
Yeah, I actually got Gentoo to run, but I find it a complete waste of my time. So if I'm going to run Gentoo now,
I think
it's
Gentoo. Really doing Gentoo is just, you know, pat yourself on the back. It's like a merit badge or something.
Well, yeah, my internet service provider, two providers back, they actually didn't mind people using Linux with their system. So you went over to the page and you had links going to Apple, you had links going to Windows, and you had links going to Gentoo. They didn't suggest anything else.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, it's like prescribing the remedial and the like Uber hacker version on the same page, you know.
Yeah, there you have it. Well, that was about Dapper Drake, so I guess they probably hadn't even heard of Ubuntu.
Dapper was actually the first Ubuntu version I ever ran, I think. Yeah.
Well, mine too.
The thing is, I get like a rap for hating Ubuntu and stuff, and I don't hate it at all, and I don't hate the distribution. I think it's an excellent distribution. I personally think Mint is better if you're a new user. Just, I don't know, I just think they've eclipsed Ubuntu by now. But I mean, it was always an excellent distribution. I don't run it myself these days, but you know, it's just preference.
I loved it. I just don't like what they've done with it,
yeah,
or the direction they're going with it.
Pretty much the same, but you know, that whole Unity stuff is just not for me.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think that's more about Canonical than it is about Ubuntu. But I'm with you in that camp, and I switched over to Linux Mint. But I use Linux Mint Debian. I don't use the Ubuntu version. I'm pretty much completely divested of Ubuntu now.
Yeah, my problem with Canonical is I have the same thing, but that's more like, that's not a usage thing. That's more like a political thing, I would say. I mean, I don't have anything, I don't have a problem with Canonical per se as well, with them like wanting to make money. I do have, if you listen to Linux Outlaws, you will know this. I'm like, I'm a controversial guy. I like to say what I think, and I often get into trouble because of that. And I often don't feel like other people feel, like I would be like the odd guy out. I always was, like in school and stuff. So whenever there's like a lot of hype around something, I'm not there. I'm not with it. That's why I never used Apple, right? I would always stick out. And I think that's probably the biggest problem I personally have with Canonical, because the whole ecosystem around Ubuntu and Canonical is these days is so much about, you know, everybody, oh, it's awesome, it's great, it's new. And I'm always the guy saying, you know, I don't like that. You know, I don't like how that's going. And then you get kind of dumped on.
Well, that's okay. I think we're all a little bit members of the counterculture. When you're in it for a while and you see things for what they are, and you kind of take those feelings on. I know that Ubuntu is still a great distribution for the beginning type user, because it works with so much hardware and it's so easy to install that, you know, it's just out there and it should be used by those people who don't care about politics or anything like that. If they just have a system they want to be just as easy to run as Windows is, then they should definitely go with Ubuntu or even Linux Mint, because I think they're both just as easy.
I don't care about politics. I care about what they've done with GNOME.
That's the same thing. That is, when I say politics, that of course underlies that. I mean, I object to it on a community kind of, you know, on a sociological level, but it basically impacts directly on the desktop. I mean, that's why I personally recommend Mint for new users, because I think what Mint is doing with the desktop is they do it because of the users, and I don't believe Canonical is doing that anymore.
Well, yeah, they've come a long way since I first ran across them, and I used to suggest Ubuntu for everybody, but now if somebody asks me, I'm going to try Linux, what do you suggest I try? I'm going to point at Linux Mint.
But how do you reconcile the fact that Linux Mint is based on Ubuntu?
Well, that doesn't matter, though. I mean, in the end, all Linux is based on something else. Ubuntu is based on Debian. You know,
I don't know. Yeah, Debian's not based on anything. It's based on Debian.
But Debian is not. I wouldn't recommend Debian, for example, for a new user. I'm running Debian myself now. I'm very happy on Zip, but I wouldn't recommend that. Just because, like, all the codecs don't work. That's just the deal breaker.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm not running Debian right now, is because I needed my machine back up in a hurry, and I didn't have time to do all the stuff to get Debian where I needed to do the stuff I needed to do. So that's the reason I've got Linux Mint running on these machines over here right now, or LMDE.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you're having any real trouble with LMDE, because that's all I'm running client-side now, and I never have one issue with LMDE. I mean, it worked flawlessly with me. Of course, I have been running Debian in some form since 1994. I guess I've sort of been through the mill, and I know the ins and outs of Debian, to be sure, but I've had no trouble at all. Well, not counting issues with Pulse Audio, but that's Pulse Audio, not LMDE.
Well, it's just minor issues. The only one I'm working on at the present time is the fact that Bracero doesn't work right.
Well, Bracero is a little flaky to me, too. It's like, especially if you want to do, like, multiple copies of a disk, it tends to wig out on you.
And, in fact, I ran four or five backup disks the other day, DVD disks, and when I got finished with them, I should have checked them as I finished each one, but when I went through and checked them, drive couldn't read any of the files, so I'm working through that. Plus, you know, my ongoing, it won't see my damn telephone, and now LMDE won't even see the micro SD card in one of my Sansa clips, so I don't know what's going on with that.
Are you having hardware issues?
Not that I can tell.
I know.
Other than, and here's where I get to say it, because I've been holding it in for 2 weeks, except that I lost a hard drive because of MBR corruption and bad sectors, and it's only happened one other time, and it was the same exact incidents. Curse you, Kubuntu.
That's a word.
I tried to Yeah.
We'll consider Kubuntu well and duly cursed.
Well, that's the second time I've tried. A couple of years ago, I tried to install it from the live CD, and it did the same exact thing. It trashed a hard drive.
That's probably why they fired the developer.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, let's get off of that topic.
Yeah,
we don't need to rant on LMDE.
I do that too much.
No, because I'm going to raise hell about it on the next episode anyway.
That's okay.
Debian is the Jesus Christ of Linux distributions. Y'all remember that.
Okay. I can't wait to hear where that's going. But anyway, I've heard Fab talk on LO a few times about the differences in the patent systems and how ours is just ludicrous, and I tend to agree with him. But what I was wondering is if you could sort of encapsulate your feelings on that particular topic with the perspective from your side of the pond.
Ours is always getting worse as well. But I mean, the U.S. seems to be like the leader right now in, you know, I mean, if you read all the tech news every day and you read all the patents, you know, that get filed and then they get approved and then all these lawsuits that fly, it's just terrible. And the fear that I have, actually, it used to be very much that, you know, Europe, well, at least as long as I can remember, and I'm not that old, but it didn't used to be that bad. And it seems like our politicians, they're looking like over the pond and they're going, oh yeah, the US is doing it. We should do that as well. And, you know, you might know, like right now, there's all these lawsuits in Germany going on with Apple and Motorola, and they're all Samsung. They're suing them back and forth. So I think it's kind of evening out right now. It's getting as bad here as it is over where you are. I think generally one thing that is better in Germany, I would say, is we are generally not so lawsuit happy. So in Germany we have a legal system that has two very different cases of lawsuits. There is a civil lawsuit, and that's just, you know, that would, if I sued you, like, let's say we drive along the road and you hit my car and I'm thinking it's your fault and I'm suing you. That's a lawsuit between both of us. And then there's the lawsuits that states bring, like the state brings on people. That is when, for example, there's a murder, then in Germany, the state is actually obliged to, you know, investigate that and then file court proceedings against the people, you know, the guy they think is the murderer. And they're two very, there's different stuff applying there. So with the lawsuits that individuals and companies bring against each other, they're very different. And it tends to be like when they come in front of the court, the judge can actually say, no, basically the judge can say this lawsuit is
badger
and he won't even hear it. So it doesn't even come to the point where the people go to court, which tends to get rid of not all, you know, there have been terrible, stupid lawsuits in Germany as well, but it doesn't seem to be as bad as it is in the US. And with the disclaimer, I've never been to the US, really. We said before the show, I've once been in transit in LAX, and that doesn't really count. But what you hear from over your side, it seems to be pretty bad, you know?
Well, I think you hear is probably the way it is. Yeah, I mean,
and then, of course, there's the thing that the US is such a big country. I'm aware of the fact that I'm probably on Linux Outlaws often overgeneralizing, which, you know, it happens. I mean, but I think in general, if I would encapsulate it, like the whole patent situation and the trademark situation, it's coming to a point where basically it's becoming as bad in Europe as it is in the US. I mean, the one thing we have right now is that software patents before the European court are very much in limbo. Whereas in the US, it's at the point where basically software patents are just considered, law. And there are actually lawsuits happening on software patents that, you know, that are just going forward, you know, the Oracle, Google thing, for example. And in Germany right now, there's actually, in Germany and in the EU right now, there's no consensus on whether software patents are actually valid. So there's the people who say they are. There's the people who say, no, actually software can't be patented. And we're very much in limbo, which could go either way. And it's been a back and forth for, I don't know, the last 5 years constantly, I think.
One thing that seems to be getting out of proportion more than anything is the sort of overreaching of jurisdiction anymore. I don't understand. I mean, it seemed like every country at some point had its own rule of law, and everything that was within a border stayed within a border. But now the long arm of government law enforcement seems to be reaching out across boundaries of all kinds. And I think that is bad news for a lot of things, because what bad choices are made in one particular country, if seen by politicians in other places, can be either assumed or, you know, the jurisdiction allowed to overlap. And then you get ridiculous cases of, you know, things like the online gambling sites and all of this other stuff. And basically a gigantic restriction of freedom due to overarching police action almost. It's getting a little scary out there.
I personally don't believe that that countries should basically go somewhere else and enact their laws. So I don't believe that German laws should, like, that our state should go out to the US and then a good example in Germany, for example, we have very special laws concerning racism. Very, very understandable from our history, probably, the Third Reich and all that. So we have actually laws where in Germany, the swastika is an illegal symbol. It's what's called it's against the constitution. So in Germany, you're not allowed to wear a swastika, for example, and you can't put it on your website. So what happened is when the internet came out and all these, all the racists and all that. Of course, they set up websites. And in Germany, if the servers are in Germany, the police will just swoop in and take their servers, which they can do in German legislation. So what did all the guys do? They all, all the racists, they set up their servers in the US on some island, whatever. And now you're getting to this point where, with the US actually been doing this. If you read about there's one case where there was a UK student who ran a film torrenting site or whatever. And the US film industry basically said, well, he's doing copyright infringement. We should be able to arrest him. And they basically now enacted the UK government to extradite this guy to the UK, to the US. And you have these things, as you said, you have these countries that go somewhere else and try to enact their law. And I personally think that isn't right. If it's legal in the US, if it's protected under free speech to, say the Holocaust never happened, I don't think that's illegal in Germany, but I don't believe our country, our police, our politicians should be able to arrest people in the US for it. We all have different, to a certain degree, we all have different understandings of how the law works. And I don't think we should mess with other people's.
No, I think so. I think what you're saying is clear in the sense that the reason that there are laws in places like Germany is because there's a precedent for having such a law. Well, outlawing a swastika in the United States would seem ridiculous because we didn't have problems with Hitler, etc. So a country implements laws to deal with problems specific to the country, and therefore if you're going across a jurisdictional line to make a claim, it's bad enough that the United States is subjected to the MPAA and the RIAA. I don't think we should be subjecting the rest of the world to those two particular groups. That's
definitely
for sure.
I mean, the thing that I've been really interested in US politics, because I think it shapes a lot of our politics as well. I mean, the with the internet and everything, it's all becoming so globalized. I don't have to tell you guys. I mean, ham radio people were globalized before the internet even happened. You have all these things. You have servers, like, for example, take Linux Outlaws. I'm a German guy, and we have Dan, who's a UK guy. And for a while, our servers used to be in Texas. So what jurisdiction does apply there? I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. No, our servers are in London, but if we get like trouble, legal trouble or whatever, it would be like today, with the cloud and everything, it would be totally easy for me to put the servers in, Saudi Arabia. So I just think our legal systems are not equipped to deal with that. And I think at some point it's probably gonna change, but right now it's changing to the totalitarian thing. Right now it's like every state, every country tries to assert their power, like globally, which at some point can't work because, as soon as you have two conflicting laws, who's right? The one with the most power, but, I don't know if that's justice per se.
No, I don't think it is. I think, the U.S. has a big problem already with justice being served by whoever has the deepest pockets.
Well.
And
totally.
Well, it could be a universal problem, but it's definitely a problem.
It seems to go that way. I don't know. I'm really. I try to. We tend to say the stuff that's happening in our country, like how we do laws is best or we think it's worse. And I think it's in between, you know. I've spent some time in Australia. Obviously I'm German, so I know the situation here. I'm now actually preparing to move to the UK. So I've been studying up on how their legal system works and all that. And I think there's like a middle ground, between it all. I mean, I very much, admire the US in certain things. And I think certain other things over your side of the pond are totally appalling. But then I think some of our stuff is appalling. I'm actually somebody who studied, history and politics in university. And I don't believe in these laws, you know, outlawing the swastika. I personally think that's stupid, because whenever you outlaw something, you make it interesting. You make it interesting to a lot of dumb people who think it's cool because it's outlawed. So, you know, I think there's a middle ground somewhere. I just don't know where it is.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think that's where we are with our drug problem in the States and perhaps in other places too.
Man, I feel like I've been talking too much.
So, Richard, oh no, that's okay. I'm just wondering if Richard went to sleep.
That's why it's good to have a noise gate.
Do you have it set for snoring?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's move on to that. Let's see. Do we have any like light and fluffy topics we can bring up? You know, before we
kittens.
Kittens. Yes, kittens or puppies. I've always been a cat person.
I always wanted to have cats. Never got the chance. But at some point, I'll get a cat.
Maybe when you go to the UK, you can find
the thing is more is like the place we're living in, and you know, it's too small, and my girlfriend and me, we're out too much. I wouldn't really object. And it's actually quite good since I'm moving to the UK now. Bringing a cat over there, well, they're like really strict. You have to put them in quarantine and everything. Better off like getting one there, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So, you mentioned on Linux Outlaws that you're switching your servers over to Debian. And I don't know if that includes, your clients as well. Is Debian your new favorite thing?
It is. I'm actually my desktop systems, my laptop and stuff are already on Debian. I'm actually switching this server. Actually, I had the decision to switch the servers over for a longer time. And it's a different reason. I've been running on CentOS, which I'm really happy with. But at some point I figured out that there's no upgrade path for CentOS, no supported one. So yeah, it's not supported to go from one major version of CentOS to the other one. No, it comes from RHEL. RHEL apparently has that as well. It's like the big enterprise mindset where they, I guess, would just buy new servers. But I have, you know, we have virtual servers. I need to upgrade them. So actually I'm going to try Debian on the server. And on the desktop, I don't know. I like to keep moving. I ran Fedora for quite a while. I used to use Ubuntu. I ran Mint for a while. Then I ran Arch. Then my Arch machine died and I didn't have time to rebuild it again. And I just wanted to at some point go to Debian. I like to move around. I mean, one of the things I'm really trying to do with Linux Outlaws, and I think Dan is the same. Dan used to distro hop a lot. I really try to be a Linux podcast, or as I must would say, GNU/Linux. I don't want to be a distro specific podcast, because I think there's room for all distros out there. And I think I personally try to switch to just, you know, keep the perspective. I don't want to become a fanboy too much and get stuck on one distro for too long, if possible.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I understand that, Fab, and a lot of times we get accused of being Ubuntu fans over here. It's simply because Russ and I have both used Debian-based Linux operating systems for so long. I mean, I've run Mandriva, PC Linux OS, SUSE. You know, I went through all of them when I was first trying to decide on a distro that fit for me as a new Linux user, and ended up on Ubuntu. But, yeah, we try and keep that kind of generic also. Of course, the show's got an amateur radio slant, so we mostly talk about the software that runs on the ham radio software that runs on Linux. But most of that stuff either is, the packages, not necessarily the source, but the packages are set up are set up mostly for the Red Hat based and Debian based stuff, so we tend to stick with the Debian side since we kind of
know.
Yeah,
you have this big advantage if you're running Ubuntu or Debian. I mean, lots of Ubuntu stuff. I run Debian Sid right now, so lots of the Ubuntu packages for the latest Ubuntu actually work on Sid because, you know, Ubuntu syncs up with Sid at intervals. So, yeah, you definitely have this advantage of having lots of packages available. I mean, Linux Outlaws is also not a Linux show. We talk about lots of stuff. We also talk about proprietary software. We try to have like an open source angle and the Linux angle. We basically talk about everything that runs on Linux and then about a lot of other open source stuff that interests us as well. I think with Linux distros, it changes. Like I go through moods as well. But I generally like to run something, that's a bit cutting edge. That's why I ran Fedora for a while. I like to try out new stuff and I always want to have the newest version to test it and so on. And I personally hate compiling. Not because of compiling or because I can't do it. The problem I have is whenever I compile something and whenever I install something not through a package manager, I forget about it. Like my brain is terrible. Must be all this whiskey I'm drinking or something. So whenever I install something, I forget about it. And then like 3 months down the road, I install the newest version of it and then run into problems because I have some old stuff lying around. You know, in my libs and my bins and the stuff lying around. And then it takes me like a day to figure out what it was. And at some point I'm like, at this point, I really hesitate to install software that's not packaged. So I usually try to get it packaged first.
Yeah. One thing it's tough if you're doing something from a straight, like downloaded tar archive, you know, of a source distribution, something like that, because there's no real smooth upgrade path for when something new comes out. And if you happen to do that and then install a package on top of it, yeah, you can get into all kinds of a mess with that. What's nice though is stuff that's coming out using repository type stuff,
yeah.
Version control, like anything that uses Subversion and Git and stuff like that, because then you get the benefit of the source plus a well-known and easy to manipulate upgrade path when new stuff comes out, because then you can just pull down the chain files, recompile.
I can usually deal with it when it just installs in your home directory somewhere, because my home directory, I know where everything is. I run into problems when you have to like put stuff in /usr bin or whatever, you know, when it's like deeper system level stuff, that can be tough.
Yeah, I have an interesting sort of problem, if you want to call it that, as well on my side, because not only do I run Linux machines, I also run BSD machines. And they put stuff in like close to the same, but not necessarily the same places. So if you get them confused, things get weird in a hurry.
He's not going to tell you he's got an Apple.
No worries, man. I mean, I might sound like the thing with Apple is just not for me. That's the thing. It's just not. I actually had an iPhone when it first came out. And I think that taught me that it's just not my mindset. So the thing is, I think I sound like worse on the podcast than I actually am. I tried to tell people that I'm actually a nice guy, which some people don't believe. I mean, you were talking about the fact that people give you, you get attacked for using Ubuntu. And the funny thing is, we've been doing Linux Outlaws for almost 5 years now. And at the beginning, we would get attacked for being like Ubuntu fanboys because I loved Ubuntu. I was running it. I loved Ubuntu. These days, I get attacked all the time for like hating Ubuntu. It's just whatever you do, you know, you do something wrong.
Well, we had people correcting and changing stuff on us at that time. You know, not only would they talk about us being Ubuntu fanboys, they would talk about how we were mispronouncing the name of the distribution and stuff like that. But we found out that if you tell somebody to bite your ass enough, they quit saying things like that. In fact, everything begins to become positive so that you don't have
that
to tell
exactly
them to bite your ass.
That is exactly what we figured out as well. That's mostly my
badger,
department.
Badger, badger.
I think Dan is generally too polite to do that. But,
Well, he comes from a polite country.
One thing I will say about the Ubuntu distribution is that it allowed me to say the word aubergine more than any my entire life.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about that gay purple background.
Yeah. that's the one. Yep. All right.
I don't know what was wrong with the orange.
That was a good color theme. I really like that. Like vintage Ubuntu.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I like the one that came out with Intrepid. I like the Ibex one, but with the Ibex in it.
But it was still orange and brown.
It was orange and brown, yeah. I mean, that was sort of trademark Ubuntu by the time I got into it.
Exactly.
And when they switched over to the sort of highlight, you know, the blue back or the aubergine with the sort of spotlight down on the white Ubuntu logo.
See, he just said gay ass purple again.
I was trying to hold back, you know.
I'll get a lot of badgers on this one.
Yeah. I don't know. I might leave him in. I think when you have a Linux outlaw on the program, you need maybe to stick it.
That was so awesome. We had some at some point, like must have been like year two or something in the show. We had some guy really offended that we've always done this on the show. Basically, Linux Outlaws is like two guys in a pub, except Dan's not drinking and I'm drinking for both of us.
There you have it.
And then, you know, we're just talking about stuff and we're talking like that. So we had some guy being really offended. And then I stuck must have been like 400 times 400, pixel. Huge parental advisory sticker on the website for about a year. And after that, we didn't get any complaints anymore.
Well, there you go. Hey, well, some people get it.
I was going to say Linux Outlaw listener from season two.
The show's called Linux Outlaws. What do you expect?
There you have it.
Polite banter.
You want me?
Exactly. That's exactly what he expected.
You want me to pronounce Ubuntu? How? That sounds like crap.
Aubergine.
Gay ass purple.
I don't have to. He's got to go.
It's not that
well,
bad.
I know he's got to go.
Oh.
No, I'm just happy. I'm just overjoyed to have him on the show finally. I used to listen to Linux Outlaws all the time, but everybody that listens to the show knows that I've gotten to the point that I don't have near as much time to listen to podcasts as I used to. So, I mean, I haven't heard the show in quite a while. I'll be on again. No worries.
What I want though is you have to record a bumper saying, my name is whatever you want to say. And I listen to Linux Outlaws because you have the perfect accent.
We can do that.
That's awesome.
We can do that.
Oh, it's not we. He wants you to do it. He doesn't care about my voice.
That's because you're from up north where people don't talk right.
Shouldn't people from Arkansas have an accent as well? You have one. I mean, I study linguistics. I know this. But to me, you sound very, very neutral, actually. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm not from Arkansas.
He's from New Hampshire.
So, yeah,
is it a case of just the accents canceling each other out?
I think it is. I never really had a New England accent when I lived there. And I don't have an Arkansas accent when I live here.
However, since we started this show, he has picked up
too.
A little bit of
like
Texas
if I would be on the show for a year, I'd talk like that as well, probably. I picked up lots of stuff from Dan, which is funny.
Well,
we've been doing this for 3.5, so.
I spent a long time trying to make my accent more neutral when I was younger. And then I got to thinking about it. If you speak the way I do now, people misjudge you. They underestimate you. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I used to have dreadlocks for quite a while, and it's exactly the same thing. People totally misjudge you. They
exactly
think like you're some
thing.
Leftist, weed smoking weirdo, and then you come at them.
And there you go. And whether we are or not, we still have more stuff in our toolbox.
I really like one of my favorite things is just playing with prejudices of people. It's the best thing ever. Like when I had dreadlocks and then at some point I didn't want them anymore. So I cut them off and now I basically have no hair. I'm like, I really shaved it off. And then suddenly they were totally scared of me. When before they would just look down on me in the street. Now they're like they walk towards me and then they just, you kind of see them go out of my way, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah. Well, to add to that, in my situation, ooh, Fab, I'm 6 foot five and weigh nearly 300 pounds.
You would have that naturally.
So you add all that together.
Oh, yeah. I'm just six.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm about 6'5", and I weigh more than he does. Foot, so
if we ever meet, I will feel really inadequate.
Well, that's okay. We have some little people here also.
I don't think 6 foot qualifies as a munchkin.
I always thought that was pretty, was okay, 6 foot, you know?
Oh, in the U.S. it's okay, but in my family it's short.
If you listen to LO, you know this. I'm a big fan of Bruce Springsteen. And when he was the first time standing right in front of me, mm-hmm, I was like, that man's tiny.
He is only 4 feet amazing tall. I know what you're talking about.
Just to show it's all the image, you know, you just gotta act big.
It was it's the pollution in New Jersey. It makes them all little up there.
Oh boy.
Or as everybody's waiting for. Oh my.
Oh, do you want me to do it?
No, go ahead and throw that one since I'm not loud enough. Do it again.
Do it again.
Oh my.
Yes.
This is terrible. Oh, your listeners will hate this. I'm like, whatever show I'm on, I'm totally rat-holding, and we're talking about pollution in New Jersey. What?
They'll get over it. We try to offend as many groups as possible during the show.
That's my philosophy as well.
If we don't get 8 or 10 of them in, we just don't feel like we've done a proper episode.
That's quite cool. I think I'll be on more. You can if you ever want to have me back, just give me a shout. This sounds like my kind of podcast.
I haven't even told anybody that Russ is up in the Booby Mountains and they're shiny and slick this particular episode. And everybody was waiting for it, so now I've said it and they can all relax.
I think your last show or something. What kind of mountains are those? What are they called that?
They're called...
Speaking of joke. You want to explain the whole joke or what?
You explain it. You're the one that lives there.
Okay. Well, we started off by saying that I made a double entendre about where I broadcast from, saying that I broadcasted from the pine forest between the peaks of north central Arkansas. No,
yes.
Yeah, and there's a mountain range out west called the Grand Tetons, which is awesome. Essentially. Yeah. So that sort of migrated over here, and now I have the. You know, I'm in the wet spot in the nice, slick Booby Mountains.
Well, there you go. On the other hand, I can't catch a break because I record from inside a cardboard box on the edge of the Trinity River just outside of Dallas, Texas.
Hey, you were in the basement of the Chinese Laundry for a while there.
Yes, the Chinese Laundry, the top of the Bailey Thornhill building.
Is that how you get such a nice... full sound cardboard box?
Yes, that is it. No, actually, this is all the equipment that Russ has sold me since we started doing this show. He actually makes money off this podcast by selling me his old stuff.
That's how I fuck my life. Rickard actually just maintains my lifestyle.
I need to get Dan to buy
I've bought at least 3 Apple computers for us.
Nine. Don't want to hear anything about Apple computers.
Oh God, tell me about it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Apple's Magic Macs in the office now. I'm starting to get used to them.
Oh Lord. Magical fruit filled computers.
That's right. All right. Well, do we have anything else? Oh, Fab said you had something you wanted to ask us, or did you already do it, or did I blank on that, or was there?
I can't remember. Yeah.
Oh, why was it called ham radio?
But we can. I don't know. What else? I've asked about the Booby Mountains. How did you start this show?
The Booby Mountains.
Why?
Why? How did we start the show? Oh, why? Well, originally I had a podcast that was just all amateur radio that I did by myself. And I got to asking for some help with that show, on when I was recording it. And after about 3 or 4 episodes, Russ decided he'd contact me. And when he did, I had already come up with the idea of starting a second show, which had to do with, because amateur radio operators are cheap and Linux is free. it's a perfect fit. So we decided to do this show. And do you remember a guy named Marland Dunn?
I don't know. Should I?
He wrote a book some years back called Linux on the Desktop. And he had a little podcast by the same name. Wasn't a lot of production quality in it. He would just get on there and talk about Linux and different places that were switching to Linux and how to do, you know, little things in Linux and stuff. Well, the title of our show came from the title of his show. It's kind of an homage to Marland Dunn.
Must have been before my time.
His show was previous when Chess Griffin did his. Yeah, it was a good while back. It was when I had first switched over.
I can remember Chess. I missed that show. That was a good show.
Russ doesn't like it.
Oh, I said it was a good show for what it was, but it didn't interest me. But of course, I've been doing this Linux thing for 18 years, so listening to Chess didn't really give me a lot.
When I started out. So that was kind of perfect.
You know, that's because Russ is like a super genius on this stuff.
Tell me about it.
I'm an idiot.
I'm in that boat.
Oh, that's great. Fab called you an idiot. I can take that one out of context.
Well, he can call me that all he wants to, because I tell the ones that ain't got no that I really don't care for to bite my ass, and the ones that I actually have respect for, they can say just about anything they want to me, and I'll smile and shake my head.
I'm actually surprised that I haven't, or I shouldn't say this, but I'm surprised that I haven't been taken out of context more, to be honest.
wait till he starts cutting things out and sticking them in that soundboard he's got.
It's Creative Commons. Yep. You know, it's the risk.
I've got about 20 free buttons over here.
It's the risk of, the job. Well, if you'd get paid for it, that'd be
exactly
better, but kind of everything.
Well, I get paid every day just knowing in my heart that I'm an international internet radio celebrity, because they do listen to us in other countries, and at least Mexico, if no place else. And, that's enough to bring a smile to my heart.
I shouldn't complain. I've got a proper job now as well.
Yeah, we heard about your new job there in England at
that was kind of cool. It's basically my dream job. I always wanted to be a journalist, so I was really happy with that. It's pretty cool. I don't know, I'll have to move to London now, which is just a bit different and difficult right now. But yeah, it's cool. It's an adventure. I'll just brand it as an adventure.
Well, there you go. It's nice when life throws you a little adventure.
It's not like it was that surprising. I applied for it after all.
Well, there you go.
Can't wait till the first podcast that you and Dan do in the same room together.
Yeah,
we
did one or two shows in the same room. The thing is, you can't Dan's, can't do fisticuffs. Like, Dan is so relaxed. It just doesn't work. And I think he can, you probably could piss him off, but I wouldn't want to. There wouldn't be much fisticuffs. I think there would be one swing at me and my head would pop off, and that would be the show.
Well, so long from Linux Outlaws. That'll be the end of the run.
Sounds like we need to invite Dan over to Ulysses to go to the barbecue house with us.
Oh, I'm sure he'd probably enjoy
awesome.
That. Next
like,
time he's
whenever
in Texas.
I'm in Texas, I'm going to take you up on that.
Yeah, the three of us would scare the hell out of him. It's an all you can eat barbecue house over about 30 miles from here.
I wouldn't physically scare the hell out of him, but I can act I can act mad. That usually helps.
Well, Russ and I are substantially proportioned gentlemen, and the way you're talking, I guess Dan's not a little bitty guy. And if the three of us walked in there and it's all you can eat, they figure they're going to lose a lot of money on this.
The first time I met him, I was like, oh, God, I'm scared. But in a good way. He's a good guy to have around if you're wandering the streets of Liverpool in the middle of the night.
Well, there you have it.
All right. Well, maybe we should wrap up. Any other questions we want to throw around or anything else before I play some music? And
well, according to the old clock on the computer here, it's after midnight at Fab's house, so we probably need to go ahead and play some music. So you do that while I find the mute button.
All right. Well, why don't we let Fab go? We'll say our goodbyes now, then I can do the music, and then we can wrap up afterwards.
That's a good idea. Then he can get good and rested.
I will to be do at work that. Thanks for having morning. Me on the show. That was great fun.
Yes, sir. We were. It was definitely our honor to have you on the
if
show.
If you ever want to have me back Absolutely. To rattle and just waste 2 hours, just write me an email.
Yeah, because we can talk about crap. We don't actually have to talk about Linux or amateur radio on the show because neither. It's happened a lot
before. I just
love
that. It's just all about having fun, I think. That's the main thing. And getting drunk, maybe.
Yeah, there you have it.
There you go. I can go for that. So why don't you give us any information you want to give us about yourself, and then we will say goodbye and thank you once again.
If you haven't listened to Linux Outlaws, go to sixgun.org/Linux Outlaws. It's easy, sixgun.org, everything on there. And if people want to know what I'm up to day to day, I'm pretty much, I live on Google+. search for my name. Which is I don't know. How would you? I've got an easy way to do this. Wait, I'm prepared. You can go to gplus.to/fabsh, and that is FABSH. That would be Foxtrot Alpha Bravo Sierra Hotel, I think. gplus2.to/that, and you'll find it. You can follow the inane crap I post all day, and that's about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Fab. It was wonderful having you on the show, and we will definitely try and get you back on next time. I can skip a little work to do a podcast.
Awesome.
All right. Goodbye, Fab. Well, thanks again. Let me find out. Let me cue my music up here, and then
I'll see you guys around, and definitely if write me an email. Let's catch up. I probably should,
Yeah, you
definitely.
Bet.
If you want to come on Linux Outlaws as well, I'm definitely up for that. We'll talk. We'll email.
Sounds great. We'll work it out, I'm sure.
Exactly. One of those call me situations. We need real Outlaws on the show. From the Booby Mountains.
From the Booby Mountains.
All right. Well, when I get a little Skype blip, I'll see you the music. Around. So thanks again, Fab. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night. Yes, and welcome back to the home of the best redneck metal on the web. This is Linux and Ham Shack, and we are back. All right. That was a fantastic interview. You have potential, my man.
I don't know. I kind of thought it sucked.
No, you actually did really good. I was impressed. You know, I spent a couple months digging up stuff on doing interviews before I started Resonant Frequency, and I'm not near as good as you were just then.
I think you might be smoking something, and if you are, could I have some, please?
Well, there you go. It could be the best in redneck heavy metal.
You just never were one for the heavy metal, were you? You down there from Texas, kind of like your old style blues and swing and all of that stuff. Can't take it when they start screaming and doing the heavy metal and hard rock thing.
Yes, I just hope that young man is able to afford throat surgery. Yes, because it sounded like it really hurt. So
I thought you were a big fan of Black Sabbath.
Not that Dio crap. I'm talking about the real deal with Ozzy.
Yeah, I know the stuff back with Ozzy. That's the real deal.
Well, we normally disagree on stuff like that.
Not this time. I like Dio too, but.
Well, there you go. And I quite honestly, I preferred the Sammy Hagar when he was with Ronnie Montrose band. So there we go. Humble pie, the whole mess. So that was, once again, that was fantastic. Fab in Germany, off to bed. Russ still in the booby mountains. Richard still in the cardboard box.
Yes, the cardboard box. The only cardboard box in the world that actually has soundproofing. Got to keep the sound off the street when you're broadcasting from a cardboard box.
Anyway, let's get on to some feedback? Yes, feedback, I think. This is normally the part of the show that's feedback, unless I'm having one of those reverse time operation kind of things that I have from time to time. So let's get to feedback. What you got, Russ?
Well, we do have a couple of bits of feedback, nothing major, so we'll probably get out of here pretty quick.
Cool, because them tacos is attacking me. Taco tack.
All right, well, we'll get to that as soon as we can. But we did get a couple bits of feedback from the website, so I thought I'd go through those. The first one is from the Linux Canuck, and I don't see a call sign here or anything like that.
He's one of our listeners, and he is a ham radio operator, and I may even remember a name and a call sign before we're finished, but go ahead.
Okay, he says, I am trying to spread the word and post your links to Google Plus, but none work. I cannot download, and the links in my RSS feed do not work either. And I have to say, I'm not sure what's going on there because I have not had any other complaints from anyone about the feeds not working. And when I go over to the website and check out the feeds, everything is accessible and I can download all the content. So I do apologize if there is some sort of problem with the website, but there's not one that I'm aware of. I know that's not exactly what you're looking to hear, and I wish I could help you a little bit further, but unfortunately, when, you know, everything looks like it's working fine from this end, I don't even know where to begin trying to troubleshoot it. So give it another try, and if you're still having problems, let us know, and we'll try and help you out. But that's all I can do for right now. Sorry about that.
And there you have it. I have even less to say about that, but let's see, what does it say, Google Plus? Well, Google's unfriendly anyway, especially since Russ calls them the evil empire.
Which is exactly what they are.
And there you have it. And, yeah, keep giving it a whirl and I'll take a look at it myself. I'm going to try and post it some places and see what happens. Cause I got a list of stuff here, but I get it on the list. So what else we got, Russ?
Well, there's only one more bit of feedback and this one's from Phil, AK4RQ. He also sent us a comment via the website. And this one says, I wanted to pass on an author and book, which many consider an iconic publication that dissects the heart and soul of Unix and a predecessor to Linux. The book is called The C Programming Language by Kernighan and Ritchie. This book was published by Prentice Hall in 1978, and that's from Phil, AK4RQ. So I wanted to thank Phil for this little bit of feedback, and I replied to him on the website telling him that I keep my copy of K&R handy right behind me on the bookshelf whenever I'm podcasting or even whenever I feel a little bit Unix lonely. I go back to the book and check it out. It is definitely one of the founding publications when it comes to programming in Linux and Linux networking and all of the things that you needed to know back when C was all the rage and when Unix was becoming a very popular system in educational institutions and governments and in commerce. And it's definitely the precursor to Linux. So if you want to learn more about that, you should check out the C programming language by Kernighan and Ritchie. And unfortunately, one of the authors of that publication, Ritchie, just passed away a couple of months ago. So that's too bad about that. The old guard of Unix is starting to age a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I went to the mailbox looking for that last one because I thought it wasn't on here, but it is. And Bill's still absent. Maybe he forgot about us. Nope, he probably wasn't included in the. He probably didn't get the memo.
No, I'm sure he didn't.
And I'll tell you right now, I wish we had more people with Fab to have come on the show every once in a while. It keeps us from having to talk so much.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, we got to record a little early to accommodate him. I'm not complaining, I'm just saying. So I think it's about time to wrap up, so let's get on out of here.
Well, let me remind everybody to go ahead and make sure you go over and check out sixgun.org/Linux Outlaws. That's Fab's show. He does it with a really nice guy named Dan. And it is quite entertaining, quite entertaining. Y'all go on over and check that out. That'll be at sixgun.org/Linux Outlaws. And with that, we've pretty much done all our business for the evening. We'd like to thank Fab for coming on the show, and we will do our best at some point to have him back on because he saves us from having to talk so much. Anyway, if you folks want to get a hold of me, you can contact me at kb5jbv@gmail.com, kb5jbv@gmail.com, or track me down on the social networks, Twitter, whatever that other place is, Facebook. Signed up at Diaspora, but I don't know how long I'm going to be there because it's a I'm not smart enough. Anyway, you can do that, or you can send us both an email at lhspodcast.info. What is that? Info at LHS. I'll let Russ tell you. Anyway. Oh, my goodness. So with that, I'm going to let Russ have it because I'm just making an idiot out of myself. This is the wrong time for me to be podcasting during the day anyway. Take it away, Russ.
All right. Well, this is Russ, K5TUX. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this very special episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. This was number 79 with our special guest, Fab, from sixgun.org and the Linux Outlaws. Again, thanks, Fab. We really appreciate it, and we'll definitely check out Linux Outlaws, push as many people over there as we can, and we'll try and guest host whenever it's possible. You can contact me and all the social networks out there, stuff like Google+, Twitter, Identica, 73s.org, and there's probably a few out there that I'm not thinking of. I'm J.R. Woodman at all of those except for 73s.org, where I am K5TUX. Go over to the website, lhspodcast.info. That's where you'll find all the information you want about the show, where to pick up the live stream, where to send email. And if you want to send us email, send it to info@lhspodcast.info. That goes to both Richard and I, and we will do our best to answer you in a timely manner. You can also give us a call at our voice line, 909-LHS-SHOW. That's 909-547-7469. And if you do that, we'll put you on the show. And that just about does it for me, K5TUX, up here between the peaks in the pine forest of north central Arkansas. And I'm going to send it back down to Heartland, Texas, where Richard is going to sign off by saying,
well, I just wanted to let everybody know, no, one more time, thank you, Fab, for being on our show this time around. I would like for everybody to know that I am not in Bonn, Germany, even though most days I feel like I want to be anyplace else but here. Y'all send in those cards and letters, pictures of the YLs, whatever you got, and we'll see y'all next time.